Okay, says the Gemara, Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, in the reasonably wide lines, towards the end of the third last line. Tana Rabbanan. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, Zu Kriya Shema Shel Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. Big Chidush. This is the Kriya Shema of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi maintains the mitzvah of Kriya Shema requires that you say the Pasuk of Shema Yisrael, and that's it. No more, no less. Omalei Rav L'Rabchia. Rav says to Rabchia, Loi Chazino Lei L'Rebi, the Mekabel Oleho Malchus Shomayim. I don't see that Rebbe is Mekabel Malchus Shomayim. Rebbe is Rabbi Yehuda. As Rashi explains, have a look at Rashi. Loi chazino de mekabel oleo malchus shomayim. Shehoya shoyne le talmidov. He would be teaching his talmidim mikoidem zman krishma. Prior to the time of krishma. Okeshehegia hazman. And when the time came to recite Kriya Shema, Loi Ro'isiv Mafsik. I didn't see him stop. Rebbe's giving the Shir to his Talmidim. The Shir begins before the Zman Kriya Shema, so nobody can possibly say that he said Kriya Shema before the Shir, because the Zman of Kriya Shema only arrived in the middle of the Shir. And I never noticed that Rebbe stops to be Mekabel Ol Malchus Shemaim, which is the whole essence of Shema. Omar lei bar pachti. Bar pachti is an expression, as they explain on the side, ben gedolim, the son of great ones. That's the term that he used to refer to him. He says, listen here, bar pachti, the son of great people. Basho shemavir yodov alponov, at the time that he puts his hands on his face, you certainly saw that he stopped to say Shema. You didn't see that he stopped prior to that to Mekabel Ol Malchus Shomayim. But you should know that's what he was doing when he was Ma'avir Yodov Al Ponov. When he passed his hands over his face, what he was doing was Mekabel Olov Ol Malchus Shomayim. So he was doing it just then. Says the Gemara, what happened afterwards? Again, he's giving the shir, comes to the Zman of Kriya Shema, he places his hands over his eyes, he's Mekabel Ol Malchus Shomayim, and he says, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. So what happened after that? Choyzer v'goyimra, oy einoy choyzer v'goyimra. Did he afterwards go and finish off Kriya Shema, says Rashi, choyzer v'goyimra, La'achar sha'omdu ha'talmidim. After the Talmidim left, did he then go back to finish off Kriya Shema? Remember, all he said was, for the moment, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Nothing more than that. So what did he do afterwards? Did he then go and complete Kriya Shema or not? A machloikas. Bar kapora oimer einoy chayze v'goimro. Reb Shimon bar Rebbi Omer, Choyzer v'goyimro. A machlekes. When you're talking about interrupting the Shia, all he said was, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. After the Shia, did he then go back to finish the rest of Kriya Shema? A machlekes between Bar Kapora and Reb Shimon. Bar Kapora said, no, Reb Shimon says yes. Omalei Bar Kapora l'Reb Shimon bar Rebbe. So Bar Kapora, who was the one who said that Rebbe did not go afterwards to finish off Kriya Shema, he says l'Reb Shimon bar Rebbe, he says, Bishloi meledit hi. It's all fine and well according to me. Well, who's me? Bar Kapora is the one who said that Rabbi Yehuda, after the Shir, did not go back to complete Kriya Shema. So he says, according to me, Da amina, I said that einoi chayzer v'goimra. I was the one who maintained that the story was that Rabbi Yehuda did not go back afterwards to say Kriya Shema. So according to me, hainu de mahader Rabbi ashmaitza de ispo yitzias Mitzrayim. So that's why, as Rashi explains, as we'll see, Rabbi Yehuda was very particular that during the Shir he always used to look for some mention of a Gemara that speaks about Yitzias Mitzrayim. Why? Because if he's not going back to complete Kriya Shema afterwards, it means he's never going to mention Yitzias Mitzrayim. So I understand very well that at least as a replacement for that, at least during the Shir, he would always be particular to mention a subject that contains in it Yitzias Mitzrayim. Says Rashi, the komahader leshanois letalmidim, he would search to teach his talmidim b'chol yoim, every single day, shmeitza some sugya de isbo Yitzias Mitzrayim that contains in it Yitzias Mitzrayim. Why would he be so particular? Bimkoim parshas tzitzis, as a replacement for parshas tzitzis, which of course mentions Mitzrayim in it, the MS v'yatziv, which is of course all about Mitzrayim, because he personally did not go back after the Shir to say all of that, so the least he could do was during the Shir try and make a mention of it. That makes good sense. Hello, says the Gemara on the third white line. Hello, ledidcha. But according to you, the Omra that you said, Choyzer v'goimra, but you maintain that after the Shir he did go back to make mention of Shema. So therefore I don't understand. Lomo lei lahaduri? So why did he need to search during the Shir for some sugya that makes mention of Yitzias Mitzrayim? After all, he's going to go back after the Shir to mention it then. So according to me, says Barak HaPorah, makes perfect sense. Because after the Shir, he did not say the parasha of Tzitzis or Emes V'yatziv. So at least during the Shir, he made mention of it. But you maintain that after the Shir, he did go back to complete Kriya Shema. So why on earth did he have to mention it during Kriya Shema, during the Shir? So he answered, no. Kedei lahazkir Yitzias Mitzrayim mizmano. Because he wanted to be particular not only to mention Yitzias Mitzrayim, but lachatchila to mention it bizmano, as Rashi says, bizman Kriya Shema. So apparently by the time he finished the Shir, he would already bypassed the zman of Kriya Shema. He still used to complete it, but so as in order to mimkayim the mitzvah in the best possible fashion, i.e. during or prior to the zman of Kriya Shema, that's why during the Shir, he always used to look for a sugya that discussed Yitzias Mitzrayim. Oma Rav Ilo Brei de Rav Shmuel Bar Marta. Rav Ilo, the son of Rav Shmuel, the son of Marta, said Mishmei in the name of the Rav. This is a memra in the name of Rav. He said, Derav Omar Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. If somebody said Shema Yisrael, and then V'ne'enas B'sheino, an oinus occurred, and that is, he fell asleep. Yotzo, he has been Yotzo the mitzvah. Why has he been Yotzo the mitzvah? Because it seems to be, like we said before, that the main mitzvah of Kriya Shema is the first pasuk. Therefore, even though he fell asleep, technically speaking, you do not need to wake him up. Why? Because he's already been mekayim the mitzvah. So the Gemara reports the story. Omale Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says, Ledoru Avdei. Rav Nachman said to his slave by the name of Doru, he said, listen here, do me a favor. Bipsuka Kamo, in the first pasuk of Kriya Shema, tsa'aron. But tfei loy tsa'aron. What does that mean? Says Rashi. Bepsuka kama tsa'aron. Tsa'aron from the word tsa'ar, pain. Im re'isoni menamnim. If you see that I'm falling asleep during the first pasuk of Kriya Shema, then I'm requesting of you, Sa'areini, please inflict some pain on me. Ad sha'ana'er yofa, until I properly wake up, the pasuk rishon, in order to say the pasuk rishon. So he's requesting, if you see me falling asleep during the first pasuk, then I'm asking you, please wake me up, inflict some pain on me. But tfei, if it's any more than that, meaning, if it's after the pasuk rishon, then there's no need to wake me up. To the contrary, I'm requesting, do not then inflict pain on me. Why? As we just said, because the mitzvah of Kriya Shema is the first pasuk, and once I've said the first pasuk, even if I fall asleep after that, doesn't matter. I've been mekayim the mitzvah, there's therefore no need to inflict pain on me and wake me up. In fact, this is halacha l'maisa. If you look in the Shulchan Aruch, if you have one in front of you, Mishnah Brura, Simon Samach Gimel. Samach Gimel Sif Hei. Look in the Shulchan Aruch, Siman Samach Gimel Sifei. It says, Im Hoya Yoshein. If somebody was sleeping, then Metza'arim Oisai, one should even have to inflict pain, Umeirim Oisai, and one wakes him up, Ad Sheyikra Posuk Rishoin, Vehu Eir Mamish. Eir means awake, until he recites the first Posuk whilst fully awake. Now, you have to read the rest of the Shulchan Aruch very carefully. Mikan ve'eilech. From then onwards, meaning from the first pasuk afterwards, ein mitza'arim oisoi k'day sheyikra v'hu'er mamosh. You do not need to wake him up in order that he should be fully awake. She'afal pi she'ukoirei. U'misnam neim Yotza. Now what does this mean? It's a very important halacha. We know from many areas of halacha that there's different levels of sleep. There is what we call sheino, which is out and out sleep, and there's what we call misnamnim. Misnamnim means he's dozing off. In my shurim, both are to be seen. But either way, there's Sheino and there's Misnamnim. The Shulchan Aruch did not say that once you've said the first Pasuk, then that's it. No. The Shulchan Aruch says you have to say the whole of Shema. But in the first Pasuk, you can't say it whilst half asleep and dozing off. You've got to be Eir Mamish. you've got to be fully awake, whilst the rest of Shema, again, it doesn't say that you don't need to say it. You do need to say it. But it's sufficient to say it even if you're misnamnim, which means you're dozing off. And that's what the Shulchan Aruch is saying. For the first pasuk, you've got to make sure that he's Eir Mamish, fully alert and wide awake. Whereas for the rest of Shema, even though he has to recite it, and if he's fully asleep, that's not satisfactory. But if he's half asleep, meaning he is dozing off, then it's okay. Says the Mishnah Berurah, have a look at Sivkot Tes Zayin. Misnamnim vohu hadin oynes acher. And so too, any other oynes, hamavatl kavonosoi, which is mevatl is kavona yotza, why? Dahare al kolponim koro kulo. Because at the end of the day, you have recited the whole Kriya Shema. Which means, l'halocha l'mais, this is very, very important. It does not suffice to read the first posuk only. You do have to read all of Kriya Shema. We're not discussing in this sif how much of Kriya Shema needs to be said, but rather how it must be said. It has to be said in its entirety. Must it be said whilst fully awake, or does it suffice even if you're dozing off, but at least you've said all the words, albeit without kavana? And that is the compromise that we're making. For the first pasuk, you've got to be fully awake, which means if you're dozing off, even though you did sort of mumble, fumble the words, but you didn't have kavana, you're not yetsa. And that's why you've got to be mitzar him to wake him up. Now, let's learn the remaining part of this Mishnah Berurah, because it's very, very, very important. Vada, says the Mishnah Berurah, you should know the following. Deyesh shalosh deyos bein ha-poiskim. Very complicated, says the Mishnah Berurah. There are three opinions in the poiskim. Yesh oimrim, some say, derak posuk rishoin bilvad humin ha-toira. Only the first pasuk is min ha-Torah. V'yesh oimrim, opinion number two, dekol ha-parasha rishoina hu min ha-Torah. Not just the first pasuk, but the first parasha, meaning all the way up to ubish orecho. Third opinion, v'yesh oimrim, degam hashnia hu min ha-Torah. Some say the second parasha, v'hoyoim shomoya, is also min ha-Torah. Parashas Tzitzis Lekula Alma hu min ha-Torah. Everybody agrees that the third parasha of Tzitzis is min ha-Torah. Why? K'dei lahazkir yitzias Mitzrayim. V'tiknu lahazkir bizman kriya shema. The Mishnah Berurah is telling us something extremely important over here. We must realize this every day, twice a day, whilst we recite Shema. Essentially, when we recite Shema, first parasha, second parasha, third parasha, we're actually performing two unrelated mitzvahs. Mitzvah number one, Kriya Shema. Mitzvah number two, a mention of Yetzias Mitzrayim. We discuss this in Seder night. We all remember towards the beginning of Magid, right, we have that discussion, Ben Zoimo, with the Chachomim. I never knew if you have to mention Yetzias Mitzrayim by Leilois, or by Yomim, or when Mashiach comes, etc., etc. That is not talking about the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. That's talking about the mitzvah to recite, to declare, to discuss Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's in the third parasha. And that's what the Mishnah Berurah over here is saying at the end. V'tiknu. Chazal wa masaken, that you should say it together. But essentially, there's no connection. There is one mitzvah of Kriya Shema, where there is a discussion whether that mitzvah is posuk number one, parasha number one, Well, parasha number one and two. But parasha number three is definitely min ha-Torah, albeit nothing to do with Shema. That's the mitzvah of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And now we understand the Gemara we learned previously. For even though Rabbi Yehuda held that the mitzvah of Kriya Shema is only the first pasuk, but he definitely was very particular to make mention of Yetzias Mitzrayim, either during the Shia or after the Shia or both, you have to make mention of Yetzias Mitzrayim. You may well hold that the mitzvah of Kriya Shema only requires maybe the first pasuk or the first parasha, but certainly you've got to make mention of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Now, halacha lemaisa, even though the Mishnah Berurah has just brought three opinions on the subject, in most cases, as we fully are well aware, it makes no difference. The bottom line is you've got to say all three parashas. I'm not saying there's no difference whatsoever. There is a difference. But at the end of the day, halacha lemaisa, you've got to be makbid to say every word of parashas number one, two, and three. There will be, in theory, nafgaminas if you have a sofek, or like we just saw, if you're not fully awake, but you're partially awake. That's all true. But again, in a normal circumstance, in a regular day, morning and night, the mitzvah is certainly, at the end of the day, parasha number one, two, three. Whether all of that's d'oraisa or part of that is d'oraisa, as we just saw in the Mishnah Berurah, that's up for a big discussion. And Allah Chalam Maisa, all three parashiyas must be said. Now, in theory, it would be Negeya. Let's say somebody is feeling extremely ill. Then it would be Negeya, Allah Chalam Maisa. If somebody, Rahman al-Itzlan, is feeling extremely ill, and he has no koyach, and he absolutely wants to know what's the bare minimum that he needs to say. He's lying in a hospital bed with no koyach to get out of bed or even say the words. So then we might well tell him, listen, at least say the first posuk of Shema, because some opinions hold that that's the mitzvah min ha-Torah, and also make mention of Yetzias Mitzrayim. He should say not just the first pasuk, the first parasha, even better, the first two parashas, even better, all three parashas. So again, we're talking about exceptional circumstances where all of this makes a difference. But in the normal, regular case, one has to be very makbid to say every word of Kriya Shema. That's why, by the way, there are those, and maybe all of us should be very particular, not to slur the words. For example, V'ohavto es Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavecha. The word b'chol finishes with a lamed, and the following word levavecha begins with a lamed. So ideally, essentially, one should split those two words. B'chol, stop, levavecha. Otherwise, it will sound like one word, b'chol levavecha. Sounds like b'chol levavecha. It's b'chol, and then another lamed, levavecha. And there are many, many examples of this. So one should say Kriya Shema to the best of one's ability, always remembering that it could well be that it's a mitzvah min ha-Torah to say all three parashiyos. Okay, back into the Gemara. Says the Gemara, Omar Le, Rav Yosef, this is really a hemshech of what we just learned, what's the end of it. Omar Le Rav Yosef, Le Rav Yosef Brei de Rabba. Rav Yosef says to a different Rav Yosef, the son of Rabba, Avucha, your father, tell me, what did he do? Heicha hava ovid. What did he do when he said Shema? And he said again, Omar Lei used to say, B'psuka kamo, the first pasuk, have a commissary. Nafshe used to be Messiah himself to make sure that he was fully awake. Tfe, loy have a Messiah Nafshe. But more than that, he would not be Messiah himself, because as we said before, they clearly maintain that the main pasuk that you have to be fully awake for is the first one. Says the Gemara Vayta, Omar Rev Yosef, Prakdon Loy Yikra Kriyas Shema. What does it mean, prakton? Says Rashi, prakton. Shoichev al gaboy, somebody who's lying on his back. Uponov lamalo, and his face is facing upwards. So he's not lying on his side or on his front, but he's lying completely on his back with his eyes looking at the sky. You should not say Kriya Shema whilst lying on your back. Now, says the Gemara, we can be medayek from that. Mikro hu deloy likri. It sounds like you're telling me that reading Kriya Shema, say that you shouldn't read, you shouldn't recite Kriya Shema whilst lying on your back. Sounds like the lying on the back is not the problem, it's the reciting of the Kriya Shema whilst lying on your back, that's the problem. But ho migna, migna means to lie down or to sleep. Shapir domi, that's fine. If I tell you that you must not say Kriya Shema whilst lying on your back, it sounds like the actual lying on your back is no problem. You're allowed to lie on your back. But just don't say Kriya Shema whilst you're lying on the back, and that's the Gemara's deal. It sounds like Mikra hu deloy kar likri, you should not be reciting Kriya Shema whilst lying on your back. But ho migna, but the actual sleeping whilst flat out on your back, Shapir domi, seems to be okay. So why is that problematic? Vaho Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Layat. What does Layat mean? He used to curse. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi used to curse anybody, a man, somebody, the Gani Aparkit, anybody who lies on his back. Nothing to do with Kriya Shema. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says you should not sleep whilst flat out on your back, and so much so that he cursed him. So why is the Gemara telling me that you should not recite Kriya Shema whilst lying on your back? One second. You should not be lying on your back in the first place, period. Forget Kriya Shema. Why not? What's the issa? Says Rashi, Layet aman de gani aparkit. Shemo yiskasha evoroi. Maybe his ava will become hard, but toich shnosoi whilst he's sleeping. Because he's lying on his back, it will therefore become visible. Venire le rabim, it will become visible to the rabim, uderech genai, and that's a disgrace. It's a bizoyen for a person to be seen like that. And therefore you should not be lying or sleeping on your back, period. So why are you telling me that you shouldn't recite Kriya Shema whilst lying on your back? One second. You shouldn't be lying on your back in the first place. So the Gemara says, no, it depends. Omri, he explained, Migna, if you're talking about sleeping, then ki matzli shapir domi. What does matzli mean? As we're going to see in a moment, Rashi says, you're slightly leaning to the side. With regard to sleeping, the issa is only if you're lying literally flat out on your back, face to the sky. But if you're matzli, if you're leaning to one side or the other, then it's fine. But mikro, when you're reciting Kriya Shema, afal gav de matzli, even though you are slightly inclined to the side, nami osur. And that's the answer to our question. Why are you telling me that you may not recite Kriya Shema on your back? Surely you shouldn't be lying on your back in the first place anyway. The answer is, you're right. I'm not talking about lying flat out on your back. I'm talking about lying on your back, but slightly inclined to the side, which for sleeping purposes would be okay. For Kriya Shema purposes, it's not okay. That's the Chiddush over here. Says Rashi, Ki matzli shapir domi, keshehu muto al tzidoi, when he is inclined on his side, ma'at, even though it's only slightly, shapir domi, you're allowed to sleep that way. by the way, this does not mean you're literally lying on your side, because that's lechatchila. That's not
lying. Sorry.
So if you're lying completely on your side, meaning your eyes are not facing the sky, they're facing the wall, then that's not just mutter. That's what you're supposed to be doing. Here we're talking about somebody who essentially is lying on their back, but they're slightly, the key word over here is ma'at. Rashi says they're only slightly inclined to the side, and that's okay. Avol, mikra kriya shema. But if whilst doing so you want to recite kriya shema, that's problematic. Afilu mitzli, even if you are slightly inclined to the side, nami asa, that's also asa. Why? Shemekabel olav malchus shomayim, because you're being mekabel on yourself the dominion of HaKadosh Baruch Hu derech srara v'gaiva, in a princely and haughty position. Right? You wouldn't greet the king while lounging there, half lying down. That's not considered covered. So with regard to the issa that we spoke about, sleeping on your back, that's only if you're flat out on your back. But if you're slightly inclined, that's okay. But Kriya Shema should not even be said while slightly inclined.
Didn't we learn previously that the word masli means to daven?
Yeah, masli does also mean to daven, yeah.
Okay, is there any...
Yeah, I'm not sure there's any connection. Here Rashi says
okay.
Inclined to the side.
Okay.
So the Gemara says in conclusion, V'ha Rabbi Yochanan matzli v'kori. But we happen to know that Rabbi Yochanan did recite Kriya Shema, although not flat out on his back, but he was basically on his back and inclined to the side slightly, which we said for sleeping purposes is okay, but for Kriya Shema it's not. So why did he do so? Says the Gemara, Shani Rabbi Yochanan, the Baal Vosor Hava. Rabbi Yochanan is different. He was very, had a lot of flesh, meaning he was perhaps very overweight, and therefore it was a whole big tircha for him to move about. So he was lying in bed. So in order to tell him to get up or to sit up was a whole big business. So for him to be inclined on his side, we'll let that pass. But essentially, if you don't have that issue, if you're lying in bed for Kriya Shema, you should either at least sit up. You don't need to stand up, but you should mechatchila sit up. Okay, we're going to hold it over here. What I would advise very much for the next Gemara, although the next Gemara is not hard at all, it's just complicated because there's many, many, many cases. I would recommend that everybody draws for themselves a little chart, because the next Gemara is going to distinguish between Bein HaProkim and the Emetz HaProkim. Then we're going to distinguish between greeting somebody or responding to somebody. And then we're going to distinguish between Yira, Kavod, or Lechol Adam. And then just to cap it off, there's two opinions on the subject. So if I'm not mistaken, there's about 12 cases that each opinion needs to be dealing with. 12 cases. Why 12 cases? Because there's always greeting and responding. And each one, there's three variables. Is it Pnei Ayira, Pnei HaKavod, or L'chol Adam? That's 6 cases. And then there's Bein HaProkim and Be'emtz HaProkim. So that's 12 cases altogether. And there's two opinions, there's 24 cases altogether. So even though it sounds complicated, but if you draw your charts, you'll see there's actually only a machloikas out of those 24 in maybe 2 of the cases. So it's less complicated than it seems. But if you have a chart, a simple box, tick, cross, then I think it will all make perfect sense. Bezos Hashem, we'll begin that tomorrow, 8:45, or more later than table.
Okay.
Okay. Have a great day, everybody.
Okay.
All the best.
Okay, wonderful day. Bye-bye.
I'll give you a call in a minute, okay?
Okay.